Good afternoon. This is Amy Grisak with Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. And today we have the privilege of sitting down with Acting Superintendent Pete Webster for Glacier National Park. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, Pete.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, you know, it is right now we're recording in May and we'll listen to this broadcast in about another week. And it's just the beginning of the crazy season for you. But before we get into that, I wanted to, if we would, talk about your experience within Glacier. I'm delighted that you have a long history with Glacier National Park. So where did it begin and how did you end up here?
Yeah, well, it Glacier's been near and dear to me for a very long time, since coming out as a little kid on a family vacation and driving across the road and spending one night in the park on our way to Seattle. And from there, I always wanted to come back. And this year will mark my 35th year since I came to Glacier to start working in summers during college. And I worked 3 summers in the mid 80s. Outside the park in St. Mary, and then inside the park in Walton Ranger Station. For my very start, just before I started my MPS career, and then after I graduated college, one of my early seasonal jobs as a park ranger was back in St. Mary in the park, and I spent 3 years and one winter as well during my seasonal time. And then a few years later, in the early 2000s, I was able to come back as a district ranger, again, out of St. Mary, and spent another 4 years here in the early 90s. And then with a family in tow at that time as well, and moving on for family and career reasons, ultimately came back 2 years ago as deputy superintendent. And with Jeff Mao assuming an acting assignment of his own for the Alaska region, stepping up and filling his seat for the summer.
Oh, that is fantastic. We're lucky to have you this year. There's no question. I love that you were at Walton. So that was 1999? Or 1991, I'm sorry?
That was actually 1988.
Okay.
Which was the big watershed year in wildland fire in Yellowstone, and then Glacier, we had our own fire in the North Fork, the Red Bench fire. So that was my first year actually working directly with the Park Service. So yeah, wonderful experience.
I'm particular affinity for that area because when I moved to Montana, I was hired at the Isaac Walton over the phone and moved out.
All right, very good.
Yes. So how was it working at St. Mary for so many years? Every part of the park is my favorite, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, every part of the park is awesome for sure. I love the east side in particular, and St. Mary is very near and dear to me and my family for sure. I have a great appreciation for all the residents over there currently. And as much as I miss it, it is nicer to be a little bit closer to some amenities that my family was looking for as well. So I get a little bit of best of both worlds here now.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, that's perfect. Good. Now, talking about this upcoming season, of course, so many issues on the table. And I guess first and foremost that we should talk about is the whole COVID situation about, you know, what can we expect when we're going visiting the park this year? What's it going to look like? You know, how is it going to be different with certain facilities?
Yeah, well, we've been certainly all living COVID in all aspects of our lives and in situations across the country and certainly no different here in the park. We've been like everyone, we fall back to the the CDC guidances. And here in the park, we've definitely worked very closely with the state and both counties that we're part of, as well as the Blackfeet tribe, and making sure we try to have as much of a consistent approach to mitigations and what we provide and how we provide things. And that certainly was a big key to everything last year, and in particular due to the result of our east side closure mm-hmm. of the park for the majority of last year. Going into this year, certainly things are different than they were last year as we've progressed through COVID and have a number of mitigations in play. And a big piece of that is vaccines at the moment, at least particularly for the Blackfeet tribe, and how successful they've been at getting their community vaccinated. It was a big reason we were able to reopen the east side of the park when we did. That said, again, we're following all of the guidances that are in play, both across the federal side through the federal public lands, as well as the state and local guidances and recommendations. We do have a federal mask mandate in place for public lands still okay. within the park that will apply to all indoor spaces, which in reality for the visitor applies to any location that they would enter an indoor facility. The mask mandate will apply at least at this point in time right now. We are going to have reduced occupancies within the buildings as well, and that'll be managed but sort of on a case-by-case basis with each building and from the folks managing and operating those aspects of the spaces. But recognize that it won't be full capacity in indoor settings. The outdoor situation is changing as we speak. Vaccines, I think, are playing a large role in that aspect. So at this point, we're still recommending and looking at masks outside or in areas out of the indoor spaces where we can't reasonably social distance. And okay. as people know, in the park, there are some real congested areas that people do queue up at. So, yeah.
True. And then how about things like the shuttles? Are those going to be running this year?
Yeah, we are about to announce our shuttle system for the summer.
Oh, good.
It will be greatly reduced from what it normally is due to COVID.
Okay.
We'll have reduced occupancy, reduced capacities so that we can afford some spaces within the shuttles itself, as well as provide some mitigations like partitions and other things to help protect the drivers as well. We will be instituting a ticket for shuttles as well, which will be also administered, and we'll get the ticket entry, I know, here shortly, but mm-hmm. administered through recreation.gov, the tickets for the shuttle. And then we'll also, as a result of COVID, have to be limited in the number of stops available, just with the requirements to manage the onboarding and offboarding of passengers. We aren't going to be able to do that at every location. So we'll have only a limited number of stops, and with the primary destination obviously being Logan Pass from each side of the park.
So if somebody has a hike planned or, say, a reservation at Granite Park Chalet, they know they should get that ticket ahead of time for that particular date.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the information and the routes of the shuttles. The shuttles will not necessarily serve the entire hiking community as they have in the past.
Okay.
Some areas like Granite Park can still be serviced from the shuttles. Other hikes may be more challenged or limited in how the shuttles can be effective.
Okay.
So once that information comes out on our web, and actually by the time this is broadcast, it will be on our website, and visitors can go there to plan how the shuttles can fit into their overall plans.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad they're running even in a limited capacity this year, because they are so handy, especially with the traffic on the road.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. That's been one of our most challenging aspects to figure out with COVID, and hence why it's a little late in being announced, just because we weren't sure that we were going to be able to make all of the mitigations possible to be able to provide it safely, even in a limited capacity. But we're at that point now to add that to the equation.
Wonderful. Yep, get those stinky hikers on there and we'll just keep apart from each other naturally. So, and then how about things like the astronomy program? I love the observation or observatory over
Yeah.
at St. Mary. That's near and dear to my heart.
Okay. Yeah. So, overall, I would say that visitors can expect, most of our services that we weren't able to offer last year to come back. We won't get to everything, perhaps, and some of the things that we do may not be at full capacity for what would be a normal expectation. Our visitor centers will be open. Most of our interpretive staff will actually be staffed outside the visitors, outside the visitor centers. But all of that information will happen there. The astronomy program itself, we are looking at doing some of that activity, night sky viewing in the Apgar Amphitheater on the west side, and at our observatory, the Dusty Star Observatory in St. Mary on the east side of the park, will be in operation as well, at least in some capacity for folks to use.
Oh, that'll be exciting because I know that took a lot to get that going, and it should have been a great year last year for it, but it wasn't.
No,
No.
no.
Well, then speaking along with the ticketing and with the road, got it. We need to delve into that one, and I know you're hearing a lot about it. So, can you
Oh,
first?
yeah.
Yes, I venture you are. So, let's start out that why is the park enacting this? I know it's not just to be mean, and there are
Yep.
real reasons behind this action.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's overall, I think we all know that the visitation in the park over the last several years has really skyrocketed, and we've just been challenged with managing a greater expectation for visitation to the park. And it's obviously an awesome place, and everybody wants to come. And we're trying to do our best to provide as much access and as best opportunities to everybody as possible. But with the increased visitation, we've definitely been seeing a lot of challenges, and in particular, many glacier in the North Fork have been overwhelmed with interest and vehicles and demand that don't meet our roads and our other facilities. And in those two areas particularly, we've been needing to shut the gates down and not let folks in for various periods of the time of the day fairly consistently over the last couple of years. And then when we got into last year and COVID and all of the uncertainty of what was going to happen, how were we going to keep people socially distanced if our visitation was still very high? We looked at this last year. At that time, a number of parks had instituted some form of this type of activity last year as a result of their efforts for COVID. And we looked at that last year, and we talked with aspects of the communities last year. And there definitely was recognition that something needed to be done for us to improve how we provide access to the park. But with everything else going on, the uncertainty, everyone challenged with figuring out COVID mitigations, they asked us not to do one more new thing or different thing to have to figure out. And our staff came back with that as well, and we just weren't in a position. But we had that thought in our mind. But we still had to manage what we were faced with last year as well. Even though the east side of the park was closed and our overall visitation was down, the lesser number of people that did come to the park had less places to go and less places to disperse. And so the west side of the park, West Glacier entrance in particular, and the North Fork were still very busy, and we still had many challenges. And And our only tools available to us to manage traffic, to avoid gridlock, are basically blunt tools of just swinging gates at certain parts of the road that really caused more problems than they solved. And in large part, we had to close the west entrance several times last year, which then caused long backups out onto US 2 outside of the park
and
West Glacier. And we recognized that we need to do something different than that.
Okay.
And then the last straw for the camel this year is Montana Highway Department is doing some road construction work on US 2 right through West Glacier between Hungry Horse and Stanton Creek. And they came to us and you know, working in consultation with them, you know, how could we come up with something that would help us afford an opportunity for traffic to keep moving into and out of the park without causing backups onto the highway. And so that's sort of the why we really decided that, you know, of all the things that came together, this is the time to try to do something that we could hope to learn from and see how things go.
Well, it does make a lot of sense. You know, it struck me a couple of years ago when I was up going over the pass, and of course Logan Pass was full, but then you go to and Lunch Creek's full and people are just walking up, and it's like, wow. So now I get it. And I know people who regularly visit the park do understand.
Yeah. We definitely are hearing folks that have concerns, and a lot of it is individually that they didn't get their ticket yet. And we'll speak to some of that, but overall there is a great recognition that something needs to be done that we haven't been doing, both for the protection of the park as well as to improve the experiences of people that do come to the park, and overall the sentiment truly is at least a sentiment of understanding and patience at this point.
I think so. I think. Too, although the biggest, I guess, question or complaint from some are the locals, you know, who are wanting to get to Apgar and wouldn't be able to get through. And that's the question. And, you know, I'm sure things are going to be sorted out, you know, seeing how this goes and figure out how to resolve these issues, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we did spend a lot of time last year in particular studying traffic patterns and studying the results of what we did last year with traffic, and it at least gives us a starting point this year. And it isn't perfect, we know, but what we did last year informed us a lot that just providing access to Apgar is not a solution for getting people through the west entrance and then not having backups onto the highway. That's essentially what caused our issues last year, was when we would close going to the Sun Road at the foot of Lake McDonald, the Apgar got overwhelmed and ultimately we backed up to the west entrance and people couldn't get into the park. And so as much as folks feel that, if I'm just going to Apgar, that's not that far, you know, the crux of our issue is the west entrance and the section between west entrance and US 2, and then how it spills out onto the highway. And in particular this year with the road construction, that's a real concern.
That truly blows my mind. That I didn't go last year was the first year I haven't gone in 30 years to the park. And to hear that, though, it just solidifies that I'm happy I didn't.
Yeah, well, and that wasn't all the time.
No.
But it was at certain parts of the day, which again is partly how we've designed our system. And again, as you said, we'll pay attention to what's happening and learn from it and come up with better solutions if we were to consider this or something similar into the future as well.
Well, and the thing is with the tickets, so people can buy their tickets on recreation.gov. They have to have their pass already. And and then it's a $2 ticket. And I've heard they're selling out very quickly. But the other option is before 6 a.m. or after 5 p.m., correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. So, you know, the way we've got it set up is first, and one of the challenging things for us is, you know, the going to the Sun Road and the fact that it has snow on it.
Yes.
we have to actually get the snow off the road before we can open it. And that usually doesn't happen until well into what people believe is a summer season.
Yeah.
And so our first challenge is the very early parts of the year. We don't have as much room for more cars, essentially, than we do in other parts of the year. And so when our tickets went on sale for the first time this year, the amount of tickets that we had available were at a smaller rate, given that the road would not be open all the way across.
Okay.
And then from there, we split it up so that, you know, folks that were planning in advance, trips in advance, you know, primarily folks from some distance,
mm-hmm.
could get some allotment of tickets ahead of time and know that their vacation plans have some security to them.
Okay.
And then from there, we'd have another set of tickets that are available within a 2-day window. Presumably more available for folks who have more of a spur of the moment trip. So, we've heard from the local community that they would like to have equal access to those who know when they're going to be wanting to go to the park, as well as we've heard concerns from folks that have planned their once in a lifetime trip for years and want to have some assurance they can see the park. And I guess that's the first piece to really highlight. The tickets are only for the Going to the Sun Road.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, for a certain time period of the day. And so people who are coming and planning to come to the park, there are many aspects of the park that do not require a ticket. And as we said, though, you know, some of these areas of the parks have already been overwhelmed with capacity. So even if you don't have a ticket, you know, we still may have some restrictions at some of those entrances, sort of hence the catch-22 we're in at the moment. But from there, you know, after the tickets that we've set aside for early reservation, we're going to be monitoring the conditions daily and throughout the day to understand how many people are really in the park, how many tickets have we allocated, how many people are actually utilizing the tickets we've allocated. If there's a fair amount of no-shows, there may be more capacity in the park. And so on a daily basis, we'll evaluate, and perhaps, you know, even the day of, more tickets will be released. The goal of the ticketed entry is to reduce the peak periods of visitation that cause massive congestion and gridlock, and particularly at the west entrance. And if we're not seeing that in the park with the tickets that we sold,
mm-hmm.
we'll open up more tickets and folks will have even more opportunity, again, perhaps even the morning of.
Excellent.
That said, again, people can come early or can come in the evening as well. My favorite time to be in the park is the evening myself.
That's true. And I'm one who gets up at 4 a.m., so I'll be there before 6. I'll see y'all early. And plus, if somebody has a reservation within the park, like at Granite Park Chalet, then that's also, they receive that automatically, correct?
They do, yeah. So whether it's a night at Granite Park or one of our campground reservations, a couple of our campgrounds that are reserved, a boat tour or a horseback ride, yeah, folks that have a reservation will be allowed access to get to that reservation. And I will say that the tickets that folks can get on recreation.gov, at least for this year, are consistent with our 7-day fee pass. So the ticket themselves is good for 7 days. Those that are using a reservation to come into the park, their access is just specific to the dates of their reservation.
Oh, very good. Well, excellent. Well, and speaking of going to the Sun as well, so plowing is going very, very well this year. I heard as of today, they're a couple of miles from Logan Pass. But that doesn't mean it's going to be open in the next week or two. So I'm sure there's a few things that need to be done.
Yeah, there are. And so I, you know, to say that the plowing is going well, you know, every year it goes well. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what conditions they face.
Ah, that's a good point.
And, you know, the way it was described up to now is, you know, the low level elevation plowing was progressing at a good pace. But once they hit the higher sections of the road, they reverted back to more normal conditions, and progress has slowed back probably to what they would call normal pace.
Okay.
All that said, yeah, they are up above Big Bend, at least a little ways from Logan Pass from the west side. I will say that we have not started plowing from the east side, but that's normal as well.
Okay.
It takes more work to approach the pass from the west side than the east side, and then the east side road crews spend their time in the early part of the year to open the Chief Mountain Road and plow into Two Medicine and plow into Manny Glacier first. And so the east side crews will begin their efforts this year as well. I'm sorry, in a little bit this way, as well, but we're still a ways away.
That sounds
we did make a determination earlier that we're pretty confident that by July 1,
okay,
we will be open. But that is not a prediction of our opening date. You know, we expect it probably to be several days or some days before July 1. We selected July 1 only so that we could release more tickets available for folks to have reservations, knowing that the expectation would be that we would certainly be open over the top by then.
Okay. So I wanted to touch on the Manny Glacier Road.
Yeah. So, boy, 2 years ago when before COVID, we thought the Manny Glacier Road construction was going to be the most impactful thing at Manny Glacier National Park for a while. And now it's just another bullet along the way. But yes, the road construction is still occurring in Manny Glacier. Even though we were closed last year on the east side, they were able to do a lot of work without additional traffic on the road. But given the construction season and scheduling across construction projects across the state, actually, they weren't able to make a increased progress necessarily. So this, all of the work that was originally planned for this year is still happening. There'll still be impacts and delays on the road into the Manny Glacier area, as well as you know, the impacts of construction around the park as well. And we, on our website, we have a very good graphic really demonstrating where all of the construction areas are around the park. So that's a good reference for folks to go to and look at.
And it's just, think of it as a good reason to stop and pause and look around and not get too upset if you're sitting in line, because this is the most beautiful place to wait.
It is. And unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes, so we won't go into how they're engineering the slumping of the road, because that is interesting, and we'll probably have some education on that here at some point down the road.
Yes, I'm tickled to death. I mean, the road, the good thing about the potholes is it slowed people down, but the whole engineering aspect of that, it's like I said, it has to be some sort of witchcraft, because I can't wait. I cannot wait to see it. So, well, I wanted to thank you again. This is Amy Grisak on Front Range Outdoors, and we have been speaking with Glacier National Park's Acting Superintendent Pete Webster. So thank you once again for giving us a preview of what to expect this year, and just everybody hopes that this year goes nice and smoothly and everybody loves their time in the park.
Yeah, we will have a great summer. We just ask folks to come with expectations of crowds and patience and certainly flexibility in their plans.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you too.
Thanks. Take care, Pete. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.